Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over what I think could be a potential black swan that has a significant probability of coming to fruition, yet nobody's talking about it. And when I mean significant, I'm not talking about 90% or something like that, but I mean, I'm talking 5%. And usually the black swan events, I guess by definition, are the ones that you don't expect. And I mean, we see what's happening with the yield curve. You guys, I'm sure, have been following that. You've heard me talk about it. We talked to Brent yesterday about what's happening with the dollar and how that could just completely implode the global economy and take the United States down with it, by the way. I just did a whiteboard video this morning on the dollar exploding higher. And, that gave me the opportunity to think about the conversation I had with Brent to an even greater degree. If you haven't seen that conversation, that live stream yesterday, you have to. I mean, it's just, if you're an investor, that is an absolute must see. But moving more to topic, let's go over to a chart here quickly, and then I'll expand on these ideas. So this is a chart of total global debt denominated in dollars or in USD. Now, I believe, this is just the total amount of debt. I wanted the specific debt that was denominated in dollars. But regardless, this doesn't give us specific numbers that I was looking for, but it gives us the concept, which is what's most important. So I would assume that the amount of global dollar-denominated debt would follow the total debt. I don't see it being very likely that the total debt in the world is increasing while total debt denominated in dollars is decreasing. So I can't see a scenario where the total debt is increasing, yet dollar denominated debt is decreasing. Now I can in the future, for sure, but especially since the Cervasa sickness, that would really surprise me. So you can see that the total debt that we have is going higher and higher and higher, going back to 2015, but the percentage of total GDP, so the debt to GDP, has increased significantly as well. So we've got the global debt here, and then the percentage of that debt in terms of GDP. So I think this is the nominal amount. Wait a minute here. As I go through this, the percentage of GDP, there's no way. If this is correct, and if I'm reading this right, and as you guys can tell, I do this live. That's one of the benefits of doing this live, is you can hear me kind of think out loud. This would imply that global debt to GDP is 350%. Okay. This has got to include total debt. So this has got to include not just the sovereign debt, but probably corporate debt, maybe even consumer debt. Let me try to go through this article and get to the bottom of this here. Let's start at the top. Emerging market borrowing led by China inflated global debt mountain to record $303 trillion in 2021. Although the global debt to GDP ratio improved as developed economies rebounded, improved? Okay, I guess that's looking at the glass half full. Sure, it improved. My goodness gracious. It went from 320%, which again, I have a hard time believing, up to 360, now down to 350. And that's like saying that someone that weighs 500 pounds, that they've improved because they lost 10 pounds. Okay, but you still weigh 490 pounds, for heaven's sakes. Well, let me keep going. 10 trillion rise in global debt pile was down from maybe, this has got to be total GDP. Let me keep going here. That means emerging markets have started at 2022 facing record high refinancing needs just as the Federal Reserve prepares to raise interest rates after years of record low borrowing costs. So I don't want to get too caught up on the specifics here because I've got to research this number further because I find it hard to believe that it's 350%. Maybe I'm wrong. But regardless here, the concept is the amount of dollar denominated debt that is in the system has increased tremendously, especially over the last couple of years. And so if your debt increases in nominal terms, while at the same time, your debt is increasing as far as the burden of the debt, meaning that if your local currency is going down against the dollar, or if the dollar is going up against your local currency, that means that the debt burden is increasing two ways. Number one, the debt itself is getting bigger. And then two, the debt payments denominated in your local currency are getting bigger as well. And they would be getting bigger even if the nominal amount of the debt stayed the same. So you're kind of getting this 1-2 punch, which is what Brent and I talked about yesterday. And it's what we see, or one of the reasons we see all these countries that are facing massive social unrest and just really deteriorating. I mean, that's saying it mildly, that they're experiencing just crisis situations. And so most of you know this, but I don't think most of you have thought through how this is similar to the GFC. So let's go back up to this chart and just, okay, this is our total debt here. During the GFC, well, one of the catalysts, I think it's more an issue of the Euro-dollar system, like I've explained on whiteboard videos, but let's just take it for face value. You had all of this debt that was issued in the form of mortgages, and you had all of these derivatives, like credit default swaps, that are kind of created with those mortgages as their base, or with the mortgage as the underlying asset, which, said another way, is the debt was the underlying asset, the loans were the underlying asset for these derivatives that were on all of these banks' balance sheets. So what happens is when those people can't pay back the mortgages start to default, and it creates this systemic risk and this systemic collapse within the system. Okay, most of us understand that, pretty straightforward. The problem we have today is pretty much identical, but exponentially greater. Because regardless of whether the loan is a mortgage or a loan to XYZ Corporation, if that XYZ Corporation can't pay back the loan, then you get a default, okay? Well, are we to assume that there were all of these credit default swaps on mortgages, but there are no credit default swaps on the loans and the credit that have been extended to these global corporations that are borrowing in dollars? And let's just, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let's just assume for a moment that the total amount of mortgages outstanding let's just say $5 trillion. Okay. So all of these credit default swaps that pretty much brought down, and all these derivatives that could have been the catalyst that brought down the entire global financial system and therefore the entire global economy. Now we have that same situation, but instead of $5 trillion worth of debt that's at the bottom of this inverted pyramid, if you will, now we have, if this is right, $300 trillion. $5 trillion brings down the entire global economy. What happens with $300 trillion? Assuming that they're the same amount of derivatives that have been built on top of this base of debt. And I don't know why there wouldn't be. If you were a bankster and you could hit all of your bonuses, you know, if you're doing that on $5 trillion, why wouldn't you do it on the other $300 trillion? Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. The underlying, just because one's a mortgage and one is a credit or a loan to a corporation, who cares? So you see how if we were in a precarious position in 2008, we are in a precarious position times a million today. So going back to 2008, what was the big problem? Well, people stopped paying their loans. Why? Because they didn't have the incomes and the burden of the loan increased because they had all of these adjustable rate mortgages. All right. Well, if the dollar continues to go up, that effectively is like having an adjustable rate mortgage in the sense that the burden of the debt increases. So then you say, okay, we might have some defaults, but maybe it will be contained to subprime. In other words, maybe it will be contained to Turkey, contained to Sri Lanka, contained to Argentina. But I think that's not taking it far enough, because when we think about these defaults on these loans, what we also have to remember is the cash flows going into the other corporations that are still functioning are decreasing. Why? Because you're having the dollar create all of these recessions in these countries that are trading partners with the other countries that might not have as much dollar-denominated debt. But we have to remember that commodities are settled in dollars. So if we see the global economy decline, the velocity of these dollars decrease as a result of the dollar going up and up and up and appreciating, then we see the dollar cash flows that are coming in to other countries, including the countries that have the bad debt problem. We see the amount of dollars decreasing that makes it harder for them to service their debt, but it also makes it harder for them to buy commodities such as food and energy. And we know by studying history that once people can't afford to put food on the table, that's when it gets ugly very quickly. So I think that with the discussion that I had with Brent, you can easily understand how the debt itself is a problem. And if the dollar is going up, how that presents a problem. But I think the one thing that I missed in the conversation is the derivatives that most likely have been built on top of all the dollar-denominated debt that has a higher and higher probability of being defaulted on, which, said another way, increases the probability that these derivatives blow up. The probability of this increases as the dollar goes higher and higher and higher. And what I outlined in the whiteboard video today is, you know, you can look at this from an American-centric standpoint, say, oh, who cares? It's Sri Lanka. Ah, who cares? But it's going to get worse. You know, it's going to go up the economic food chain, meaning it's Sri Lanka today, it's Argentina tomorrow, it's Japan next week. And if it continues to go from, let's say, 107 to 115 to 120, and it might not. Again, there's only probabilities, no certainties. But I'm just going through a thought experiment, assuming that it does continue to go higher. At a certain point, that will affect Americans and the United States. Why? We can just print the dollars to buy the stuff we need. Right. But who produces the stuff we need? That would be all these other countries that are going bust or have gone bust because the dollar going up against their local currency. So you get to a point where, sure, if the United States might be the last man standing, but it doesn't mean that we're any better off. We might be slightly better off, but it wouldn't be noticeable because there is no stuff. There's no more productivity. There's no more goods that are being created to ship to the United States. And obviously, I'm taking it to an extreme. There would be some, but the amount of goods that we as Americans would have access to would plummet. And this would prove my point that I make in so many of my whiteboard videos. And this would make most Americans realize that dollars are not wealth. Stuff is wealth. Goods, services, energy, food, shelter, this is wealth. You can get to a point where you can have all the dollars in the world. And if you don't have any stuff, you're still dirt poor. And your standard of living decreases massively. It's just we are in a position where we don't have to produce to get the dollars we need to continue to produce the stuff. Where all these other countries don't have that luxury. They actually have to produce to consume, or produce, I should say, to create the stuff that we consume here in the United States. So we've basically delegated our productivity to other countries, and that's all fine and dandy until all those other countries aren't producing any stuff. And that could happen, or that problem gets worse and worse and worse as the dollar continues to go up. So I just wanted to kind of give you that food for thought that, you know, you could see the, especially, and I was talking about food and countries and kind of the problems that we would face on the ground, but this could be another banking crisis as well, that instead of, it's the exact same dynamics. It's the derivatives have been built around a base of debt. So if there's defaults on the debt, then that inverted pyramid of derivatives just implodes. And whether the base of debt is $5 trillion with mortgages or $300 trillion today with this other debt, or just let's just say $200 trillion of that is dollar denominated, it would be the same phenomenon. It would be the same end result where the defaults take away the defaults destroy the base that is holding up that pyramid of that inverted pyramid of derivatives because the dollar goes up, which creates those defaults, just like the interest rates going up created the defaults in the United States. Again, the big difference there is you're going from $5 trillion that those derivatives have been built on to $200 trillion, $300 trillion, who knows? So, I mean, let's just assume for a moment that with $5 trillion, we add $100 trillion in derivatives. Okay. Well, that's 20 times. So now if we have, let's just say $200 trillion in dollar denominated debt, what does that give us? $200 trillion, that I don't even know what that is. That's, was that 4 quadrillion of derivatives? Yeah. All right. That might be a slightly unstable system. And that's kind of my point. So like I said in the whiteboard video today, I think we've gone from a potential GFC to a DFC. Instead of a global financial crisis, we could be living through a dollar financial crisis in the future if the dollar continues to go up. We'll have to see how it plays out. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.